This episode is brought to you by Curie Briefs, the smartest three-minute read in medicine. Think of it like mental floss for busy clinicians. Sharp, concise, and clinically relevant. Check it out today at curie.md. And now, on to the show. In just 1 year, 27,000 fewer Americans died of a drug overdose. That's three people every hour who are still alive today. It's the steepest single-year drop in overdose deaths since records began, a number so staggering that it caught even the experts by surprise. Today on Curie, we're diving into the story behind those numbers. What changed, what worked, and how fragile is this progress? Let's start with the data. In 2024, overdose deaths in the United States dropped from a staggering 110,000 to just over 80,000, a 27% decline. That's the lowest number since 2019. Fentanyl-related deaths alone fell nearly 36%, and opioid-related deaths were almost cut in half. 45 states saw declines. Only Nevada and South Dakota recorded increases. As NPR's Brian Mann put it, a 27% drop in deaths, it's unprecedented. But this wasn't luck. It was policy, it was science, and in many cases, it was harm reduction finally catching up to the scale of the crisis. One of the biggest shifts, the widespread availability of naloxone, better known as Narcan. After it became available over the counter in 2023, distribution exploded. It's now carried by police, EMTs, community outreach teams, and even friends and family members. When used quickly, naloxone is 99% effective in reversing an opioid overdose. As Brian Mann said, bluntly, before that was there, people just died. Another major factor was telehealth. During COVID, rules around accessing treatments like buprenorphine were relaxed. Suddenly, patients could get addiction care without traveling hours to a clinic or waiting for a slot in a crowded schedule. The results? More access, more continuity, fewer barriers. And don't underestimate the power of money. States began receiving billions from opioid settlement funds, payouts from lawsuits against companies like Johnson & Johnson and Purdue Pharma. That cash was used to scale up harm reduction, improve treatment access, and fund community programs. Dr. Mohamed Kabbaj of Florida State University summed it up this way. Any decrease in drug overdoses and lives saved is a positive step forward. But maybe the most fascinating piece of this story is one you probably haven't heard of. UNC's Opioid Data Lab. Epidemiologist Dr. Nabarun Dasgupta and his team have been testing street drugs, mailed in anonymously from across the country. Since 2022, they've analyzed over 13,000 samples from more than 40 states. What they've found is stunning. Over 400 different substances in the street supply, many of them potentially lethal. The goal? Help users make safer choices. We really want to encourage autonomy, Dasgupta says, and help people make better choices about what they put within their bodies. That's a powerful framing. Harm reduction as informed autonomy, not just intervention. Still, the progress has been uneven. While deaths have dropped among younger adults, the highest rates remain in people aged 40 to 55. Native American communities continue to face some of the worst mortality rates. And there's still a shadow epidemic happening. Deaths from meth and cocaine actually increased last year. In states like South Dakota and Nevada, the combination of fentanyl with alcohol is proving especially lethal. Now comes the big question, will this momentum last? The answer depends on politics. The Trump administration's draft 2025 budget proposes sweeping cuts to Medicaid, naloxone distribution, and addiction treatment programs. Some researchers warn that these cuts could erase recent gains. Brian Mann again, if it ain't broke, why are we upending everything like this? There's also concern that a shift away from a public health approach back toward punitive drug enforcement could halt progress and leave healthcare professionals flying blind. Losing track of emerging street drugs, losing coordination between public health departments and community orgs, that's a recipe for relapse. And yet, even in this uncertain moment, there's real hope. Harm reduction is working. Public health is working. And for many of those on the front lines, the work is deeply personal. Dasgupta's team at UNC has lost loved ones to overdose. They're not doing this work from a distance. They're steeped in grief and motivated by survival. His most important lesson from 2024, survival is step one. Addiction is chronic. Recovery takes time. And the longer someone survives, the higher their chance of eventually getting better. As Brian Mann put it, most people do eventually get better if we keep them alive. In a year filled with dark headlines, this one stands out, a flash of hope in the fight against overdose. But it's not the finish line. It's a fragile moment. Public health saved 27,000 lives last year. The question now is whether we'll protect that progress or allow politics to pull us backward. As regulations shift and funding remains uncertain, how can healthcare professionals like you help ensure that overdose deaths keep falling and that care remains compassionate, data-driven, and accessible? Thanks for listening. For more curated medical news, podcast episodes, and games built just for healthcare professionals, check out Curie.md. That's Curie.md. No app needed, just smart. Daily insights at your fingertips. See you there.